Luke 2, once again, picking up at verse 16. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, as it had been told them. May we leave here this morning glorifying and praising God for all that we have seen and heard as well. Well, Robertson McQuilkin is not a name that many know. He passed away in 2016 with little fanfare. He was a church planting missionary. He was a theologian. He was an author of multiple books. Yet none of those achievements were the most significant legacy that he left behind. His most enduring accomplishment was actually his resignation. We've coined the term lately, the Great Resignation. Well, his resignation truly was an act of greatness. Because you see, right in the midst of a highly successful tenure as president of a Bible college, his wife found out earlier than expected that she was going to have health problems, ongoing health problems for a long time, a degenerative disease that she was dealing with. And so McQuilkin, at a younger age, stepped down to become his wife, Muriel's, full-time caretaker. And he was with her until the very end. That is his legacy. It's a beautiful story that's chronicled in the book, A Promise Kept. And he gave this reason for why he stepped down as he did. He said, the decision was made in a way 42 years ago when I promised to care for Muriel in sickness and in health till death do us part. Duty, however, can be grim and stoic. There is more. I love Muriel. She is a delight to me. Her childlike dependence and confidence in me, her warm love, her happy spirit, and tough resilience in the face of her continual distressing frustration. I don't have to care for her. I get to. What a legacy. What a legacy. Well, the story of Christmas is the story of an others-centered affection. It is a story of a selfless commitment, a loyalty. It is the greatest love story ever told, revealed. God the Son, the one whom the hosts of heaven worshiped, emptied himself. We've sung about it this morning. He took the form of a servant. But what form specifically is the form of a servant? What is it that he took? Well, Philippians 2 told us, right? Remember we heard that about a year ago. We were studying Philippians, and we heard what form Jesus took. Being born in the likeness of men. That's how he emptied himself. Sovereign Grace Statement of Faith captures the miracle of his incarnation this way. In the fullness of time, God the Father sent his eternal Son, the second person of the Trinity, into the world as Jesus the Christ. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary, taking on himself a fully human nature with all of its attributes and frailties. Felt frail at all recently? He took on all of its attributes and frailties, yet without sin. That's who this baby is. He's not like anybody else who has ever been born before or since. He is the very form of God in the very form of humanity. That's who he is. It's a stunning kind of reality-shaping truth that God the Son has come to be among us. But the question is, why? Why did he do so? Why did he do such a thing? Empty himself. Why would he do that to enter our world? Well, the author of Hebrews makes that abundantly clear when he writes in Hebrews 2. Since, therefore, the children, that's us, share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So why did he take on our humanity? We see the twofold answer right here, that he might destroy the one who has the power of death, namely the devil, and that he might deliver his people, namely you and I. And so that's why he came. We were those who were dwelling in deep darkness, right? Isaiah 9 says, those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness. We were living in a land of deep darkness. We were shackled by our sin. We were born spiritually dead. We wanted nothing to do with God or his kingdom. Our best efforts deserved nothing but his eternal wrath forever and ever and ever. That's our best efforts. Earn that. That's how wrong we were and how wrong things have gone. We desperately needed to be rescued, which is why he partook of flesh and blood. But how has he destroyed evil? How has he delivered us from our bondage? Listen to our friend, the author of Hebrews again. But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. The sufferings of his own death in our place is how he destroyed evil. That's how he did it. He suffered and died in our place. He defeated death through death, is what we see. And he delivered us who were subject to a lifelong fear of this slavery of the death. So we put it all together and we see that Jesus, what we're celebrating this morning, Jesus was born in Bethlehem so that he could die in Jerusalem. That's why he came. He took on our flesh so he could take on our death. He enslaved himself so we could be set free. That's who the little baby in the manger is. Emmanuel, God with us. The one who has committed himself. The story of the Bible is a God who commits himself to his people. Go through the whole Old Testament and you find a God who has committed himself to his people. And what we see in the birth of Christ is another level altogether, beyond what we could have dreamed. The one who set aside his glory freely, voluntarily, and gladly to come and die and rescue us from our hopelessness. He didn't have to, but he was delighted to. Christmas is the story of a promise kept. That's what it is. So we want to ask ourselves this morning, have we, like these shepherds, come to own him as our own Lord and Savior? Has he set us free from our sin and spiritual death? Are we bending our knee to God the Son incarnate today? Has he become our delight and joy? The message of the angels is meant for us today. It's meant for us to trust and to treasure, to ponder like Mary, to look into this manger and realize that our life has come. God has kept his word because Christmas is the story of a promise kept. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. mild he lays his glory by. Born that men no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we delight in the gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Jesus, we do celebrate and worship and bend our knee and welcome you as our own Lord and Savior. We were those who dwelt in utter darkness. Lord, our hearts and our minds, Lord, they were only bent on sin, selfishness, and death. And you knew everything about us, more than we even know about ourselves. And you came to be born in human form so you could live a perfect life and die in our place. And so we ask, Spirit, that you would be poured out in our hearts, even this morning, to see and celebrate and taste the glories of Christmas. And we delight to worship you this morning, King Jesus. We look forward to the day that you are returning and will dwell with us forever. All glory be to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.